Hey Osiris listeners, we want to tell you about our friends at Sunset Lake CBD who support this show. Sunset Lake CBD is a Vermont hemp farm crafting affordable CBD products designed to help with sleep and stress without breaking the bank. If you haven't tried CBD before, take it from me, it's a game changer. I use Sunset Lake's tincture every night before I go to bed, helping me get solid, restful sleep. And their gummies are great for daytime. Check out their new Good Vibes gummies, which have just a bit of hemp-derived THC to help you relax and unwind. Sunset Lake CBD crafts products with hemp grown on their family farm and ships them directly to customers. They have tinctures, salves, edibles, coffee, smokables, and even pet products. By the way, their CBD chocolate fudge is awesome. Check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use coupon code TIME for 20% off all products. Sunset Lake CBD, farmer-owned, Vermont-grown.
Osiris.
The time has come for you to be the guest on Comes a Time. Wednesday, November 17th, 9 p.m., exclusively on Moment House. Join us for the inaugural Comes a Time Crystal Ball from the Wizard's Castle. Mike and Otil will be consulting my crystal ball that will be filled with your questions, your stories, and your pretty faces. What will the questions be? Well, that depends on you. Head on over to momenthouse.com for details.
Hey, Mike, I can't see clearly. Is that a lightning bolt on your shirt?
You're damn right it is, Otil. This is Section 119. Hey guys, we just got our hands on some great new gear from an officially licensed partner of the Grateful Dead, Section 119.
Oh yeah, Section 119. They sent me a pair of board shorts. They're actually really cool. I actually wore them on stage and they were really comfortable. You know, I live in board shorts in Florida, so that's kind of my jam. And these have a cool print on them. Bertha's on there and the roses and stuff. I really like them.
I got one of the performance polos with the Grateful Dead bolt embroidered in the chest. It's super stretchy, and I love the way it feels when I'm on stage wearing it. I feel like I'm representing the Dead and rocking out some jokes in style.
Section 119 was started by a couple of fans who wanted more than a latte to show their appreciation for the Grateful Dead. They started an apparel line that has everything you can imagine to represent the band at every occasion.
And not just the Dead, they've got some amazing fish duds as well. From button downs with dancing bears all over it to board shorts with super vibrant prints and donuts all over your shirts and socks. They've got something for every fan for any occasion.
If you're looking for more than a t-shirt to celebrate the Grateful Dead, the folks at Section 119 make the highest quality apparel.
Boogie on over to section119.com and use code COMESATIME. That's all one word, comes a time, for 15% off your next purchase.
Hey, this is Otil. If you're liking what you're hearing, head on over to patreon.com/comesatimepod and get your bus pass for an extra episode every week.
Is that Jerry I see over your right shoulder, dude?
Yeah, it is, brother. That's St. Jerry. I got that in my recent package from Garcia Handpicked, our sponsor. Award-winning cannabis, mind you, I just found out. Congratulations, Garcia Handpicked. And you know what, man? There's quality in the packaging as well as in the bowl. You've got these incredible packages of pre-rolls. Check this out, right? Beautiful style. If you want to strike matches that they provide for you, you've got your striking spot right there. A little sommelier style for our ears. You get a list of songs that goes with your strain. It's so neat. The packages come pre-rolled with Jerry's hand. Everything is stamped with his approval. This is my favorite. Check this out. A little joint holder with his hand on it.
Gotta catch those roaches so they don't burn you up.
It's like Jerry's always saying hi to us. And if you guys want to find out if Garcia Handpicked is available in your area, go to garciahandpicked.com. They also have tons of phenomenal merch, a whole bunch of great pictures, like I think never before seen stuff too of Jerry. It's really beautiful. So if you're a fan of the cannabis or a fan of the man-nabis, go to garciahandpicked.com. Let's look up Mike. Oh, I took mushrooms too early.
And CBD gummies too late.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're back with another episode of Comes the Time. That's Oteil over there.
And that's Mike over there.
How you doing, pal? It's just us today, catching up.
It is. I don't want to start out on a bummer, but it was just... You're like, how are you doing? I'm like, pretty rough. It was Kofi's birthday yesterday. It snuck up on me. I didn't realize it until like 10 o'clock the night before because my sister texted me something. And I didn't get a chance to look at it till later on. And I was like, oh. So the whole next day I was like involved in doing stuff. But then like, you know, I also felt held hostage by social media. Like I'm obligated to post something now. Because it's Kofi's birthday. And so I was having a lot of anger. I think I'm even just now realizing that part of my anger is at social media, whatever that means. Like, because I was like, screw you guys. Like, why do I don't owe Instagram anything because it's my brother's birthday. Like I'm dealing with my stuff. And so then that was, and I had anger mixed in with that separate from Instagram, you know. So I just was like, man. And then I woke up this morning, so to me it was like I was prepared for Kofi's birthday to be today, and now I'm still, but I was bummed out yesterday being caught off guard and this other stuff, and now I'm bummed out about
it actually
his birth, and it's been a rough one, you know, for those who aren't, you know, this comes out later, but it's like 1 p.m. right now. So you know, I go back to bed a lot when I'm trying to sort through stuff. And so I'm really glad for this podcast because Jess is always like, you always feel better after the podcast. I was like, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
So this is good. So how are you doing?
Oh, I mean, I'm all right. I mean, it's been a weird, well, you know, we talk a ton. Everyone I think realizes because we're always referencing our conversations, right? So like we talk off mic a ton. And driving back from the city the other night, you and I had a great conversation, and that kind of got me going in like a direction of like, all right, we're all like taking stock of things and kind of realizing that like everything sucks, but we're okay. Is a very important thing, you know? So you ask how I'm doing, and it's like, I mean, that's the thing I think about where it's like, you know, you don't want to be that guy's like, well, I am, you know, this, I am that, I'm whatever. I'm okay. Like I'm really okay, I think, which is good, you know, good to say. Sad about stuff, of course. Sad for you, for, you know, the loss of your brother. And even though it's been a, you know, how many years now has it been? 3?
2019. Yeah. Crazy.
19, 20, 21. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're wearing your Backline shirt, which is awesome. You know,
on purpose. Mm. And I will shout out to Backline because, well, not all the time, but today I wore it to remind myself, you're having a bad day today. Eat the ice cream, procrastinate, whatever, go back to bed.
Yeah.
Whatever, like take care, do a little extra to take care of yourself today because you're hurting today. You know, so it's funny that I actually use this t-shirt just as a tool. Like Backline gave me a tool by just sending me this t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's like a tattoo that doesn't have to hurt. You know what I mean? Like you could take it off and wash it and shit. But yeah, it's important to have those. I have this wristband that I got from, you remember how like those Livestrong wristbands, like the.
Yeah, I got.
Oh yeah. Cool.
One from
cool.
Alex Peavy.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I have one for that says others before self. And I leave it in my car on my shifter, you know,
shifter. Yeah.
So I'm like, sometimes I'm playing with it and I look at it and kind of, it reminds me, it's nice to have those like kind of things, those messages floating in your orbit, you know,
you need them. I mean, I'm doing okay too, but on the other side of that coin is like, well, I could always say, you know, these people do legitimately have it way worse than both of us. Right.
100%.
Like just the fact that we could say we're okay means we're great. We're not out on the street or whatever. But I also trying to fight that inclination to always like, man, I'm okay. I shouldn't
bitch about anything. And then so you just internalize and you internalize and you and it's like the death of a thousand slices until you're like, oh, you know, yeah, totally, I'm yeah. supposedly okay, but there's a lot of blood
bleeding out everywhere. Yeah. Well, and it's true too, because it's like it sometimes it takes like my thing lately has just been kind of like being all right with things that are outside of my control. You know what I mean? Like a lot of things in life aren't in our control. And it's the having that reality to go like, all right, well, what can I do about this? And if it's nothing, then you got to be able to just go like, all right, nothing. I can't do anything about this. So I got to move on. I could sit and bitch and dwell and whatever. And
yeah.
And it's just that perpetual disappointment, either you put on yourself or with, you know, disappointed in others, which is a huge thing now. Let's go back to our childhood. Let's go back to a time before social media and before 24/7 breaking news, and you can't escape opinionated, side driven,
dark,
but like advertising funded news.
Yes.
Okay. So you're in school and you like a girl, you think she likes you back, and then you hear from someone else that she likes this person, but they really like her, so they don't want you to think you have a chance. And then this person says something else, and you're finally getting to a point where you're like, I can only ask her if she likes me or not. Forget these other, you know, things coming by you, right? And you just go, hey, listen, do you want to go out with me? Do you want to like go meet at the library or whatever, you know? And just having like the clarity to be like, can just you and I talk about this, you know? And I think that when it comes to news and when it comes to, I hate being alone. I'm a people person, and I love being with people, but man, I'll tell you, lately, the past 5-6 years, whatever, like I dread conversations with people because I feel like I'm going to get that. Well, she doesn't like, you know, this person and that, and they're going to come with their side and how they want to kind of rope you in. And all people want you to do is either 100% agree or 100% disagree, because they're either ready to fight or ready to high five and go, yeah, these snowflakes or these, you know, Republican blah, 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 and point fingers. Where when you go, man, I really don't care. I really don't know. They get like sparks come out, because it's like all they know how to do is either fight or celebrate. And it's like, and that's all it is these days. So it's, you know, literally all I try to do is find, how can I just know about the stuff that means something to me? Like the human rights, the common sense stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just what's actually happening. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I see a picture, and it's like these the border police guys, like,
oh man, I just saw that
going after like these refugees. And it's like, I had to stop and be like, when is this picture from? Is this something from like how many years ago? And then I'm like, God damn it. Like,
and you know what the irony of that is? And I didn't think I would ever talk about this on a podcast, because I didn't think it would ever really come up. But Haiti is the only like successful slave revolution to happen, where they literally defeated like Napoleon, you know, like they kicked in everybody Haiti? Out. Yeah. Toussaint Louverture, I think, is, I'm sure I'm brutalizing the pronunciation. Sorry about that. I don't speak French, but yeah. And they've been, now economic warfare has been waged against them ever since. Mm-hmm. Ever since. People can say that's a conspiracy theory or not, but it's whatever. It's just true. And I'll tell you an interesting reparation story while we're on that. The former slaves were made to pay reparations to France after they won their freedom through war for the French's property, which was them.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, man. That's what's going on here.
See,
right? And so I asked myself, like, why? So what? Why are they oppressing? But I've been to Haiti with Jess, mm-hmm. and it's crushing. Well, like I've been to really poor African countries and poor. I've been to India, man. This shit is crushing. And I was like, what? Why do black people need to be oppressed in Haiti? For what? Turns out stuff like Levi's
right? Jeans.
Jeans. They make clothes there for nothing, for like slave wages.
Okay.
Right. So it's done on purpose. And our government has always all that shit that just happened. And they were like, oh, yeah, it was some dude in Miami, right? You know, like, it's been us the whole time. And, see, you know, the other powers, you know, it's just so that's done to them. And then they try to escape here, and, like, we're going, it looks like we're in 1850 again. Like, what, you know?
I mean, other than the fact that the guy was holding onto a plastic bag, I was like, wait a minute, what is that, you know? And the thing I thought, now correct me if I'm wrong, but was a lot of this because, are a lot of people fleeing Haiti at the moment because of the fact that the hurricanes this summer have just completely devastated. Also, there's no aid. There's like no aid at all. See that, honestly.
Why are you going to give aid to somebody that you're suppressing on purpose in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because Levi's could be cheaper. You know what I mean? This is what we're dealing with. And people are just at brunch like, oh, it's so good. Haiti's the failed country. That's so sad. It's like, yeah, because of us, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, but there's zero, like, so, you know, it's like there has to be a certain amount of, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's cause and effect. And so right now it's coming up in our faces, and you can't like escape it. Like it's going to be on your doorstep, whether it's in the form of a virus or refugees or whatever, like it's coming to your doorstep. So everybody's going to have to face it soon and dig into how it got this way.
Okay. So So this communication and this talk and being alone versus being with, you know, like you say, it's going to come to some people. It's already through the doorstep, and it never even went to the door. It's just
a door.
Well, even right, yeah, but like from like family levels and stuff and friends and all these, like this is like this weird thing where if you don't operate from common sense or empathy, right, and you have some other either agenda or you let social media tell you how to think, which is so common and so scary. I mean,
yeah, because the algorithm,
they just want you to keep buying the whatever, the jeans or whatever, you know, like it's just,
well, it's even it's more
all about money. Why the fuck don't people realize that it's like,
but it's weird because Daniel Lanier had a weird thing about this. He said we should try this. You let the algorithm, you do two recommendation hops on YouTube. One, I do stuff signed in because I like to reference my history.
Okay.
You know, so sign out and do one anonymously and just click on a video that you want. Right. And then go 20 hops of recommendations. Just do 20 times recommend. And he said by the 20th hop, you're going to be in something that's dark, like it fosters paranoia, xenophobia. It just goes dark.
Yeah.
Right. He said, now you can do that same thing from your profile signed in, and it's going to do the exact same thing. It doesn't matter. Like, no matter where you start, if you follow the algorithm down the path, it's going to take you dark. Remember, like, the Facebook, they gave the AI its own Facebook profile, and it just went dark?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether that's because it's trying to get a click, which is the money incentive. It uses the dark side because it gets more clicks. I guess that's the connection.
Okay.
You know, but that's where, so that's what you're saying, like in the algorithm age, trying to deal with stuff is a way different ballgame because you have all the people that are either like fighting or celebrating being dicks, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which Michael Mead had that podcast about the Titans.
So
did
good.
You listen to that one? Yeah, because yeah. I thought that was genius. He's talking exactly about that, that Greek myth of like the Titans got thrown into hell, which was for them Tartarus, for being too Trumpy, basically. You know? They were just like, you know, might is right. We could do what we want. We're entitled. If I get away with it, it's okay. And celebrating all of that, like, let's go to fucking Capitol. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it was so crazy. And I thought, wow, I can't believe he tied that myth to right now. But that's what we're dealing with. And the algorithm is fostering this huge resurgence of that. It's an impulse in anyway.
Yeah.
But now it's like fanning the flames for that.
Well, you know, like that documentary about how dangerous social media is, that should be like, you know, when you take driver's ed and you have to watch the video on like how unsafe driving can be so detrimental, like there needs to be like a warning, like on a side of a pack of cigarettes for social media, because a lot of people, your son is going to be more like, no, wait, I think he's safer on social media than a 70 something or 60 something year old person is right now. Because he's growing up with it and you've seen that. Right. But think about people who this is like, oh, I heard about this. I could go see what my friends from high school did. And then it's like, wait, what's in the DNA of, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, they're doing this to the government. And then like, they're just, guess what I saw on that computer. And it must be true because it was there, you know? So, I mean, part of me, I feel like kids can filter bullshit a lot faster. I don't think the youth is the problem right now.
I still have to teach him because we talked about maybe more on the Patreon on our regular podcasts about son getting addicted to Ryan's World at like 4. And I mean, I felt like such a failure as a dad. I just let the algorithm have my kid and it took him to Ryan's World, just sells you toys. Right. Yeah. So then I started, you know, even yesterday, he was watching something and Jess is cooking in the kitchen and I'm playing with Kavi or whatever. And she goes, hey, I heard him curse. So he'll watch a guy, a YouTuber that's playing Minecraft, actually teaching him things about Minecraft. But they get hopped up when they're in a game. And he goes, what the hell? And Jess was like, what? Did I hear cursing off that channel? So we're like trying to like, we still have to herd him like sheep. Like, no, you know, you can't have cut. If you hear cussing, that's a red flag. It's got to go. If you hear. And so we are training him. But the algorithm is still like, yeah, click on this. Click on. And it disguises them. Remember I tell you about the dark Peppa Pig?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Dude, that blew my mind because it looks like Peppa Pig. It's like my Peppa Pig candy. Oh, I'd like that. But then Peppa Pig gets her head cut off at the end. And I'm like, wait a minute. Peppa Pig, Frenchie Pig doesn't get his head cut off. And it's a fan that has made another Peppa Pig with like a dark ending. I'm just like, what is going on out here? That's tons of views.
Yeah, of course.
Who took the time?
Of course it does.
Who took the time? Like, wow.
I mean, that's been going on since that's like the crank call of 2020. You know what I mean? Like
there's so much of it and I'm sure they're making money and they're getting my kid and like, so it's definitely, I think I agree with you. I think kids will save it, but not also without a lot of sheep herding for us to go, hey, you got it. Cause I do, my algorithm is good to me, but I'm very, when you see don't recommend this channel or not interested, I click a lot of those things like, well, you have to just keep taking it out. Keep taking it out. It comes back, you keep taking it out.
Yeah. I think the thing I hate the most about all of it is that I don't like when I'm fed what they think I should see next. And that's when I'll clear my search and I'll do the not interested, not interested, not interested. Even if I am interested, I'm just like not interested. Not. So I've basically made my thing, you know, like, yeah. I mean, lately, I mean, it changed, you know, Norm MacDonald has owned my feed through the pandemic and Tim and Eric and, you know, blooper outtakes of my favorite shows, like the, you know, the Office outtakes where all Grateful Dead stuff, Michael Mead stuff, the mythology and stoicism and all that. But it always wants to throw in something that, like, I don't really care about, you know? And then I could feel it. Well, it's almost like I could feel it. Like I'm eating at a buffet and I like what they're serving. And then it's like, cause I'm picking it. And then they go, ooh, did you ever try, you know, salmon? And I'm like, I'm leaving this whole fucking buffet. That's it. And then I just go clear and I'm done and I move on because I don't know what it is about lack of trust or lack of, you know, no one's doing this for free. No one is doing this out of the kindness of their heart. No one's working at YouTube going, oh, Mike likes Steve Brule on Tim and Eric Brule's rules. Like maybe he'll like, maybe this will warm his heart. Maybe this will get, no, it leads to there's some reason they're sending me that way. So I'm like, I don't need to be led. It's fine. You know,
see, mine has been good to me. I'll say half the time, like over the this tour, when I was really alone and I started working on this, jazz horn stuff, you know, and then it started sending me other stuff and I was like, oh. I was scared too. I was like,
you can click on that one.
But I clicked on it and it was great. And I say that it's fed me now that it knows, but it does still have that other track. It's always going to throw in the other crap to try to, but I'm like, you know, I have one friend, the guy that, he did our logo. And he goes, oh man, I use that algorithm. He just goes, I'm in there on YouTube and I'm like, shoes. You
know? Yeah. He just talks to him. Yeah. Well, you're right.
The stuff come up or whatever he's looking for. He's like, I let it do the work for me.
Well, it's true. In certain ways, 100%. Like, you know, I'm going to be doing like an overnight camping trip, right? And I was kind of like, how to put together a certain thing or whatever. And that led me to a little wormhole of like people taking, basically putting a GoPro on and hiking the Appalachian Trail and watching them. And I'm like, okay, this is neat. Like I'm into this a little bit. And then starts to get fucking, I'm like, oh God, forget it. I think the only thing that is always consistent is like, just you type in Jerry Garcia or Grateful Dead or whatever. And I'm like, I'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know though, man, it's just like the whole thing is, I guess it's just back to what I try to remember. Meditation helps me with it, I'll tell you that. But I try to just remember that all this shit is fake. Like all of it is, when you're sitting and you're just close your eyes and it's quiet and you kind of like Bob Ross talked about with us, Bob Roth talked about with us, was like just reaching that place of transcend where my phone's not in my hand while I'm meditating. There's no algorithm while I'm meditating. There's no left or right or stop the steal or sheeple or whatever fucking Pelosi palaces and all this shit that's flying by us. It's not when it's just nice and quiet. And I think about how like we lived in a time where we weren't, it wasn't 24 hour, you know, like, and not to quote Norm, which I'd like to bring up at some point before.
Oh, so much I want to talk about him.
He said, you know, when I was young, the news was a half an hour. And he goes, I think they had it right.
Yesterday.
It was about yesterday. And he goes, even then, I think the news wasn't a half hour. He's like, there's always a story about a local dog. But it's
commercials.
And commercials, right. But now, you know, like this whole thing. And so I just kind of, when I feel myself getting a headache, when I feel myself getting like tense and whatever, and I've said it from a couple months ago, lately I'm trying to get ahead of a thought or ahead of an emotion or ahead of something before I'm already underwater with it. You know what I mean? Like that's anxiety and depression and shit for me. It's like, fuck, I didn't even see you coming. And then it's like, now I'm just in like a bubble of it. And now it's like, how do you get out? And that's the panic attack. But knowing, like for me, I don't expect anxiety to go away. I don't expect criticism or depression. That would be completely irrational and I would never succeed really. But all I want to do is go like, I see you coming. Like I feel
your
you coming.
Responses to it are gonna
change.
I
can set myself and go like, all right, now I'm not. Cause man, if anyone has ever had a wave of a full blown panic attack just hit,
yeah, man.
I mean, it's like the all the walls are caving in on you and everybody's not who you thought they were. And it's just demons and it's awful. So when I feel myself now going, like, getting an opinion or getting a, you know what I mean? Like something steering me in a direction. I just genuinely start from a place of, I don't trust you when it comes to any of these financial decisions, even the COVID shit. Listen, I mean, how I'm vaccinated, I support it. I think the science is, you know, whatever, but I can understand how someone may go like, why am I going to trust the government when I have, you know, or CDC says this, FDA says this, the WHO says this, but this, you know, and in this country they're doing that. And in that,
well, it's if the FDA and the WHO weren't in bed with Big Pharma, I feel a lot better about things.
All it does is go back to, and even these like initials and whatever, it goes back to everything is wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which
like
is
it all needs a title and it all needs a,
when you realize that and you couple that with the time we're in with the algorithm just raining, which I do want to interject real quick. I have a friend that told me he has way more Instagram followers than I do. And he said, you know, I'm losing followers a lot and I'm not worried about it. He's like, I'm losing a lot of followers and I'm tracking it. And he says, but the reason I'm worried about it is because people are getting off social media. And I was like, wow, well, that's good news. So all this stuff, as with everything,
I hope.
I think I can accurately predict that this is temporary. Because I think, obviously, like, he's tipping me off that average Joes are hip to it now. They're like, yeah. This is, what am I doing all day? Like,
well, that's,
if it starts to go away, you know, maybe the market will decide that it's not good for us, you know? So I that's kind of encouraging.
I would like to see that. I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate when you hear someone that hasn't been on social media go, I saw on Facebook such and such, and you go, oh, they got you. It's almost like, oh, you smoked a cigarette, like you're fucked. You
know, which is, so it'll be like, man, we lost all our followers. Sweet.
Yeah, fine.
Everybody fine. Got off social media.
I mean, really, that's the part of this whole thing I hate. It's like, you know, you got to do it when you know, hey, my shows are here, or my this is that, or listen to the podcast, or whatever. And it's like, or don't. You know, really, right. Like just or don't or go outside or don't come to my show. I don't care.
Well, it's like mushrooms. Like we were saying, like, you know, the cool thing about if you use mushrooms this way to help you get off SSRIs, to help deal with depression, to help deal with anxiety, eventually the mushrooms are going to get you off of the mushrooms.
Yeah. Right?
So if our podcast will send you back outside, if our podcast will send you to go create art in some way, visual, musical, comedic account. Yeah, to go, like, you know, like,
yeah, just we're here. Yeah, it's like the I use the Alan Carr Easy Way book to quit smoking. I don't go back and read it every day, but I have a copy of it in case someone needs it, you know what I mean? So yeah, you're right, dude. I appreciate that. Yeah, if anyone's listening, just go the fuck outside. Go outside and don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Leave it how it is or better, you know?
The podcast will be right where you paused it. You can listen to it after you go outside. The rest of it, right?
Once it starts raining, you can come in and finish. You know, Norm MacDonald, I gotta say, and look, now maybe this algorithm thing does work for one or two reasons. When I was in the pandemic and it was, you know, really just getting started, I went right back on my anti-anxiety meds and I went right to all the things that made me laugh as a kid.
Yeah.
And it was just survival mode because I felt like my hands were tied. Couldn't go on the road. Couldn't help out. My wife's like working a million hours, like,
She'd come home from the hospital and have to put her clothes in a bag, and we'd spray it with Lysol and pray over it. And, you know, you didn't know what was happening. And Norm MacDonald, Tim and Eric, Simpsons, like all the stuff I love, like I fell so deeply into it. And it was just like, literally have my phone against the sink while I'm shaving, and I'm just listening to like Norm on Conan telling old jokes that are, you know, like coal miner jokes and shit. And it was just something. There's certain comics, and this isn't one of those like tributes to Norm, like, yeah. I would never even pretend to throw my hat in that ring. I never met him. I don't like, you know, there are certain comics that you watch where you go like, just like there's certain musicians I'd met where you listen and you watch and you go like, I'll always be able to watch them. I have a hard time watching stand-up comedy because it's what I do. And number one, I don't want to be influenced by anybody. But number two, I don't want to be like, I did something somewhat. There's parallel thought. So you don't want to. Norm, that guy, he talk about aliens living among the humans. Like, that cat had this weird confidence and sly kind of smile to the other world where it was like, I got this figured out. Like, he figured out how to, like, the punch counter punch of comedy, where it was just like he had Letterman cracking up, he had Conan cracking up, he had every single person he was around dying. He had a voice of his own. He had like, and the thing that's kind of crazy is that I did the math and he wrote his book. I mean, they say he knew he had cancer for 9 years. He wrote his book, I think, like 6 years ago or whatever, right? So that's like him. He had to lay it out before it was too late. And he even made his memoir a lie. Like, his biography isn't true. I mean, some of it's, you know, whatever. It's embellished. But, I mean, the thing that I loved so much about him was that it was just like he was so pure that he was always right on the other side of like crying and vulnerability and all that stuff. Yeah. And God, he openly was like, believed in God.
That came up on my thank you algorithm for that. It's like Norm MacDonald and God with a bunch of different interviews. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, please. I heard an interesting thing from, I've watched some tributes to him of like Saget and people that were really, really close to him.
Yeah.
And they mentioned like he was so willing to bomb. Like, he just didn't care. And that reminded me so much of Colonel Bruce. He was like, bombing's part of like, you're not showing the whole thing if you're not showing bombing too.
Yeah. We should talk about this because for people who don't, it's weird to me that like, some people have never been to a stand-up show, or some people have never been to like understand comedy or whatever. You know, you learn, we don't go to a rehearsal studio and go, guys, I wrote this song in B minor, like on three and like start. We have a thought or maybe a punchline or whatever. And like, you go to a show that maybe you feel okay, like throwing caution to the wind and trying it out, or you go to an open mic or you write it or you text them, hey, what do you think about this and whatever. And there's always that first time you tell it. Yeah. And it's like you're constantly on the edge. You could do, if you never bomb, then you're not growing. If you always tell the jokes that work.
Yeah.
Then I have no interest in that, you know,
please.
Yeah. And the thing that stinks too, is that when you start to have any type of a, you know, if you've got that critic, the critic's going, these people paid for a show, you know, these jokes work.
Yeah.
Be a professional, you know, like
be an entertainer,
entertainer. People go, my act.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like, there are some comics I know that I'm honored to know that will go up with a piece of paper and just like, it will fall flat, but you don't know that because you're the only one that's hearing it and it's in your head and you get up and then sometimes halfway through a sentence, you're like, ah, fuck, this isn't funny at all. You know what I mean? And you can't back out because there's people are sitting in the crowd watching and you got to kind of, so like bombing is the part, it's like the, man, I remember hosting the cellar one night, and you know, I think it was Rock popped in. Chris Rock popped in, and he famously will go up and kind of just be like, what to talk about next? Like, what to talk about next? And he takes his time and he's like, you know, relationships. And then he'll go into a thing about, and he'll just kind of, and you'll see the crowd has that moment of like, yeah, what's he going to say? Like, he's going to hit us with something. And then it's like, this is taking a lot longer than I thought it was going to. And then they're like, I don't think he knows what he's doing right now. Like this, you know what I mean? Like, and people walk outside and they go, did he know he was going to go on tonight? Like, Chris Rock wasn't that funny. And it's like, ma'am, first of all, he doesn't owe you shit. You paid $12 to get into the show. So,
and you got Chris Rock.
Number two, you just watched the first trimester of a birth that's going to happen in 6 months or a year that you're going to go, I was there. I saw him do, you know, like, remember when that was just, then you're going to be proud to be there to watch that, you know,
for $12
for 12 again. Bucks on like a Tuesday, right? Like you're welcome. But there's guys like Norm that, I mean, like his shit, it seemed like he never, that's what I mean by like, he figured it out. In the sense of like, fuck it. Like, I'm already on Letterman. Fuck it. I'm going to get fired from SNL. Like, okay.
I mean, I love that. That was my favorite thing to hear about Norm. He got fired from SNL. I didn't know any of this because there was a friend of OJ's that was, I guess, high up in the show.
Yeah.
And he was just hammering OJ jokes. But then after they fired him, his movie came out, I guess, that he did with Saget. What's it called? The Wild Thing or
Dirty
something?
Dirty Work.
That's it.
Artie Lang and yeah.
Then they had him host it and he goes, you know, I got fired from this show a while back. So that means one of two things. Either I got a whole lot funnier in the last year or this show sucks.
And then, there it is.
And then he did like a whole slew of OJ jokes.
Yeah. Dude, like, he was he was balls, fearless. Man. He was fearless. And you want to know what else too? The thing about him
unreal.
Is that he was like genuinely sweet. Like there are super comics sweet. I know that he unwarranted, like, I don't know if that's the right word. What do you say when you're not asked to?
Unprompted.
Unprompted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unprompted. He would just go on like Twitter or social media, whatever, and just like shout out comics that he thought were funny. Or he would retweet comics that he thought were funny, and he kept up with people and he was in communication with people. One of the things I loved that I saw was that someone posted that their mom died and Norm, like someone wrote to them and said like, hey Norm, could you shed a little insight or make me laugh? Like my mom died and I'm really bent out of shape over it. And he wrote back to this perfect stranger and said, take the love that your mother gave you and shine it out on all the people that you love. And that's how she'll live on. And it's like, he didn't have to do that. How many people wouldn't have? And he didn't make a joke out of it or share it. Or that's a very vulnerable moment when you reach out to someone and they're like, they could easily just go, look at this clown, like, you know, and make it about them. But he was always sweet and from what I saw, and I'm a massive fan and
kindness is genius.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing, you know, and you want to know what you know, what's so one of the saddest parts, I mean, Norm dying is clearly the saddest, but one of the interesting things about Norm dying is every single tribute follows a pattern where it's someone talks about how, you know, we lost Norm. No one knew he was sick. How genius he was, how he had his own voice. Then someone does a Norm joke in a Norm voice.
Yeah.
Butchers it, apologizes for doing a bad impression, and then continues to do the impression and finishes the joke
over and over.
And I was just about to do the exact same thing. One of my favorite jokes of his, because it just shows how silly he was he said like and when you start to do a joke of Norm's, like, it feels weird not to do it with that voice, but he had to go to the airport and show his ID. And he goes, now the word ID, right? Like, let's see, the I is short for I and D is short for dentification. And he goes, I kind of feel like D's doing all the heavy lifting in that. And it's just such a funny, silly dentification. Like, he feels bad for D. And I just, that's just, to me, just so fucking hilarious, man. And he would go on Conan, like, he'd go on Conan. Oh, he said LSD. He did a great joke about LSD. He goes, LSD was the drug I did when I was a kid. He's like, he goes, and they warned me to not take it on account of you can get a flashback. 10, 20 years, 30 years goes by and you'll get a flashback. And he goes, wait a minute, you're telling me I buy a drug for $5, I take it now, and then 20 years later, it works again? He's like, that sounds pretty good. He goes, I'm someone who likes to stretch my drug dollar. He goes, but I'm here to tell you, I take an LSD, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years gone by, no flashback. Just a bunch of horse shit from Big Acid. You know, just calling it like Big Acid to me was just, it's those little silly things that.
Oh my goodness.
When you're watching him, you're kind of like, it makes you go like, I don't know how to do stand up. I'm a fucking fraud because this guy's you know what I mean? Because you see some of these guys.
It's just such a unique, I got on a Norm Macdonald thing way earlier on in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how, but I went, you know, I went in, and he's just one of those. He is so unique, like just his voice and speech pattern.
Yep.
His way of looking at things, and then his willingness to own it. To be like, he realized, like, this is great. Like, this is the weird way that I am. It's, yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah, you know, it encourages me to, like, yeah, you have those little weird thoughts, but whether it be musically or whatever, like, what's wrong with that? If you had it, it's not hurting anybody. Like, what's, you know?
Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after this.
Hey there, Osiris listeners. I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Smart Wool. For more than 25 years, Smart Wool has been making merino wool socks and apparel designed to keep you comfortable. Because they want to help you play, laugh, and explore in the outdoors with every thread they knit and every step you take. Because they believe that comfort sharpens focus and lets you perform beyond your limits. They are here to help you feel good. Now it's up to you how far you will go. Take 15% off of your first order at smartwool.com. Smart Wool. Go far, feel good.
What's up, everyone? I'm Mike.
And I'm Oteil.
And these are our Sunset Lake CBD gummies that are almost gone. Sunset Lake CBD is a farmer-owned business that ships CBD products directly from their farm to your door.
For years, Sunset Lake was a Vermont dairy farm producing milk for Ben & Jerry's ice cream. In 2018, they diversified and started growing hemp for CBD.
And with a product for everyone, they offer pre-rolls, hemp cigars, and hemp flowers, as well as tinctures, gummies, and CBD-crafted coffee to help with stress, aches, and pains.
Sunset Lake CBD saves you money by shipping high-quality CBD products directly from their farm to your door.
Want to know what I've been using a lot of, Oteil? This salve with the arnica.
Yeah.
On my old bones. You get back from a show and you got tore ankle, rub a little bit of this on there, you're ready to dance the next day. And you know, Sunset Lake Comes a Time listeners can visit sunsetlakecbd.com and use promo code TIME for 20% off of their purchase. That's sunsetlakecbd.com, promo code TIME, and tell them we sent you.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and it also, like, it seems like he figured out how to, like, overcome that critic, you know? When you're doing stand-up and you're up there and you get, over time, I think you get, I like comics that are okay with silence. And I got to think about that while I'm saying it, because, like, I like comics that don't have to rush through. Yeah. There's certain things you pick up, like you watch. There's some comics where, like, they'll say the punchline and then they'll go, after the punchline. And it's almost kind of like a nervous tick where it's, or it becomes part of their rhythm. Then there's some comics that just lay out the punchline and then just let it go up. let it go down, let the room kind of settle back to like a tempo. And then the next thing, you know,
yeah.
And Norm was the king of that. Like, you'd think the joke was over. And you're like, is he just ending it in the middle? And then he would just go back more into this, like, man, he does this crazy joke about the news and about how, like, you see this story about a woman who went missing. And at first you're like, oh, I don't care. In fact, I'm glad because I don't know her. And then he's like, the more I watch it, the more I start to lay. It's about this woman, Janice. The whole thing ends with like her, and she's in a shallow grave, and he's like, why? The first thing I would do is like make sure I had a nice deep grave, you know, like, and then I would go back and he just, it's like a 15 minute bit, Oteil, that's just like, what the fuck?
You're like, what are we doing?
But he's talking about getting invested in the news, and you're now getting invested in his joke the same way he was. And it's just such, it's like,
wow,
magic. It's like a magic,
yeah,
trick.
That was,
and,
yeah.
And it's just like, he did it to you the way that you're, you know, the character in this joke or whatever. But he's someone I always wish I had the chance to say, like, I, you know, thanks and stuff. But, it's one of those guys from that's a thing I think about quite a bit with like my childhood, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to start seeing a lot of people, you know.
Oh, dude, dying. That's with me, because I'm 57 now, and man, they're all, I mean, they've been going for a while, but I guess I'm just more acutely aware of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the Reaper getting close, like, you're on the conveyor belt and you're getting closer to the Reaper yourself, like,
yeah,
everybody's falling off the belt, you know.
Yeah.
And but
it is very sweet to see, like, there seems to be a very similar thing between, and I hope you understand what I mean by this, but by like the love that everyone is showing Kofi, and yeah, and the love that everyone's showing Norm, it's almost like when you have these people who are just genuine, like, they brighten people's lives.
Yeah.
People want to celebrate their life, you know,
bright
and want
spirits.
Yeah. And that's the thing I think that's really kind of wild about these past couple, you know, this in particular, is because I saw online so many people posting pictures of, you know, with Kofi shirts and with,
yeah,
you know, and then to hear all the beautiful things that all these other comics that I like look up to, you know, like, I was texting with Attell about it, and it was just like, we're, you, yeah, know, like, to me, those are like the two funniest guys, but it's just,
yeah, it makes me think of, that, little bit of, that the algorithm spit up about him talking about God, because I didn't realize he was, I don't want to say a religious person, because I think he was, well,
he went to church.
Yeah, I guess he would call, he did, I think at one point he did call himself a Christian, but it was interesting hearing him talk to all these different interviewers, mm-hmm, about faith, and he was really very perpetually annoyed, shall we say, at atheists, you, yeah, know, and he helped me zero in on exactly what, I mean, I had zeroed in on it before, but now I knew exactly, like, he helped me laser focus. Why? Because I kept wanting him to say it. You know how when you're listening to an interview and you wish you could interject?
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
That's why, and I have a podcast.
Exactly, because now we can't. So he helped me focus it, and it was, my problem is not with what their belief is, that there is no God, right? Mm. My problem is that I don't believe that they believe it. So I have to be specific here, and I'm not talking about atheism, because that's a separate thing. But I will say, because this has been said to me, it's scientific materialism. I don't believe in anything that I can't prove scientifically. And I'm like, bullshit. Mm. Right. So where I'm coming from is, okay, does it matter? Right. I'll circle back around to that. Does it matter? So you don't believe anything that you could prove scientifically. Pick person that you love the most. Right. Now, I don't know if it's your mom, sister, whatever, you could have had a crappy mom. I don't know. But pick that person and then go. So if I now I'm going to kill them on a whim. Does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, there's a number of things to unpack in here. One, first of all, before I even kill them, hypothetically, of course.
Sounds like a Norm joke.
But this is like, I think he kind of thinks this way. You don't believe in anything you can't prove scientifically, so you can't say either you don't love them or you do believe in stuff you can't prove scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you if you love someone, so I would have to say you believe that you love them. I could say I know that I love them. I know okay. it. I know I love Nigel. I mean,
yeah, right.
I don't have to believe anything. You yep. know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I know I love Jess. I know I love Kavi. I know, right? I know I love my mom. All right. So which is it? Do you believe your belief or don't you? Now, if you're going to wiggle out of that or sidestep that one, then I'm going to put the heat on you and go, okay, now I'm going to kill them on a whim. Does it matter? Because if you don't believe in anything you can't prove scientifically, that means you don't believe in love, which means it doesn't matter if I kill them. Like, why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And we know it matters. We know it matters. Don't tell me you don't know it matters if I kill that person on a whim or for any reason other than they were trying to kill my kids or something. You know what I mean? But
sure.
Right. So,
yeah,
that's well, my thing. Like you don't believe what you're saying. Right. So how can we even argue about you want to argue about, oh, I don't believe in some old man. I'm like, man, you don't even believe your premise.
Dude, this goes right back to why most people don't believe their premise. Why do you think that? Did you hear this stuff about how people who are so anti-vax are going disguised to get vaxxed because they know they need the vaccine, but they're scared to go, hey, you know what? My bad. I was wrong. Whatever. Everybody is like, no one really knows what they, and that goes back to my whole thing where I don't know, like, I don't know much. And I, the thing about atheism, and I think, I forget who it was, maybe one of Louis C.K.'s specials or whatever, he told a joke about how atheists can go like, there's definitely not a God. He goes, you could see 100 feet in front of, he's like, God can be behind you the whole time going like this. Like, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Like,
well, they're also believing conviction. In something they can't prove. I'm like, you're doing exactly what you accuse.
This is why I spend most of my time with dogs, O'Teal. Every human is a fucking bonehead.
No, but see, I think there's hope because like some people you cannot use critical thinking with. And this is what my whole thing, remember I told you I want to develop this theology based on logic, which everybody would think is nuts. Or the scientific materialists, oh, you're going to use logic in theology, where's the place in that? But it's there because you know it's wrong for me to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. It's very simple. It's binary. Is it right or wrong? Right? Like, so it's logical. You don't want me to kill your mom. And I don't want to do it because I wouldn't want you to kill my mom. Like, you know, it's sure. That's logic, right?
Right, right.
Do unto others is just logic. So,
but don't you agree though that there are some people that are just like the ones that are the loudest tend to be the dumbest, and the ones that are the most scared. Yeah. So it's like those are the ones that are gonna, you know, like those are the ones that are gonna shout, I don't believe,
but,
you know, whatever.
And it's always,
like,
oh, well, yeah.
Like you got to get to a point. I personally think where you go, like, why the hell am I gonna waste my time talking to you?
Yeah.
You know,
like, well, and that I will like not waste my time. So, but you know, for me, it's almost like, you know, it's worth 120 seconds to just pose you a quick question about what you said you believe. Right.
Yeah.
And then we could be done with each other. I just want to find out, just, can you answer me one thing here? Cause I have a little bit of the, you know, I like to think there's hope for people to, you know, like Norm MacDonald, like, you know, I was surprised that he got that deep about it with that many different interviewers. And I feel like when everybody is judging religion by the worst people in it, the people that understand it, in my view, the absolute least, Yeah. Then it's like, so I have to like speak up and go, well, wait a minute. What about, you know, Martin Luther King, Bill Maher, you know, like what about, you know, the good ones? What about Gandhi? What about, you know?
Yeah, but you also, you got to write like maybe Dalai Bill
Lama. What about those guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
I hear you, dude. I hear you. I just would much rather have conversations with people who admit they don't know. What religion is that? Because that's what I am.
That's called agnosticism.
No, that's what I am. I never knew. I don't like the one time I had a conversation with like someone about politics, and I was like, I just kind of feel like we should do this and this and that, whatever. And they go, oh, well, you're that then. And I'm like, well, then forget everything I said, because I may not feel that way in a day.
You're a socialist.
Yeah, there was some whatever. I was like, oh, everyone, you know, because I have student debt. It's like, oh, education for you. Oh, you're a communist. I'm like, okay, well, then number one, I'm never going to talk to you about it again, because you're pointing at me, calling me something that I don't even know. Why does everything need a title? Why does everything need a, I'm this or I'm that, or I have to say all of this? The thing I don't like about saying that 100% I'm this is that you have to now say everything else isn't true. That's the problem I had with Catholicism and whatever, because it's like, I'm not going to say other gods are wrong. Like, I don't know that. Who am I to say?
100% believe in love.
Sure. Yeah, I do.
Right.
Of course. But that doesn't mean that I'm saying like,
and that does other people,
I guess, but I don't know, man. I have a hard time with like, well, we had a conversation about like how, you know, you got to remember that some people ruined it for some of us. You know what I mean? Like when you got someone going, this is what you now believe, and this is what you, and you better,
it's hard.
Every sin, every sin that you blah, blah, blah. And then that guilt is just like fucking, it's like Clockwork Orange. Why would I want to go to the minute I could decide that I don't want to go to church? Fuck that.
The thing is, it's like, what was it? The Anne Lamott book.
I'm sure there's deadheads and fish fans and everybody that are ruining the dead and fish for so many people, because they're going, bro, you got to check out this jam. You got, and everyone's like, get the fuck. You smell like patchouli. Get away from me. You're gross. And I don't like it. And you pushing it. Wear more if you just put it on and someone goes, oh, what's that? And it's like, nah, it's Grateful Dead. You know, go find it if you want, you know, whatever. People, it's so funny when people know I like fish, they'll tell me why I should hate fish. And I'm like, listen, I love that you don't like fish, because there's more tickets for me. I have more room now. Like, you know, like I don't want you there. And I feel the same way about politics and the same way about religion. It's like, go do whatever the fuck you want. Just don't hurt each other, and realize that someone else may not agree with you, but that doesn't make them wrong. I feel that way about pretty much everything. So whatever
I'm interested in finding the people in religion and politics and music and everything else, comedy and everything, that do believe their own premise. What I consider the true one, and I'm saying this as someone I think I have a somewhat informed opinion on what the true premise, like if I said, you know, Jesus came to make us all feel guilty, how right does that sound?
Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, so like that was his whole thing.
Clearly whoever did that to you is not believing the actual premise of what this person, mythical or not, came for, right? And like, let's take him totally as a myth.
Sure, but if you asked me,
it still sounds ridiculous.
Right. No. But if you asked me, if you flat out said, Mike, what do you think about Jesus? I would say, I believe he existed, and I believe that everything that he, you know, stood for, and everything that he motivates in people is beautiful, and that a lot of people fucked it up, like a lot, like the Crusades and all. Like, I hate that, the idea that, like,
even
let's
before
just go
that,
like
Constantine,
sure, whatever, weird, yeah, really. Just like chopping people's heads off if they don't believe in Jesus. Like, come on, like, and then, but I'm also gonna say that I don't think that I think Buddha that whole thing happened. I think Muhammad, I think that whole thing happened. Yeah. I think that the whole Jesus thing happened. I think that
Something happened.
I think that people who worship the sun, that makes complete sense to me. Tarot.
Absolutely. Everything dies without it.
Native American oral tradition. You know what I mean? Like Bob Weir said it. If it rings those lofty bells for you, then perfect. So you know what? Yeah. I'm not going to tell you that Jesus wasn't. I don't know shit. Exactly.
That's why I look at it. You know what I did is I just read it. I was like, you know, this has and continues to cause a lot of problems. Like I still haven't read Mein Kampf. But it has and continues to cause a lot of problems. So I feel like I should read it. You know, it's a little different than reading the New Testament, but I feel like I should read this. And I was also told to read this in the mystical experience that I had. Hmm. Right.
Oh, so yeah?
I was like, well, just read it. Just read it, man. Like, it's short. It's super short. Right. And I read it and I was just like, and then when I read the whole thing, I was like, so I asked Jim Barnett, God rest his soul, who, you know, Dr. Barnett has doctored in the stuff, right? I said, he gave me these commentaries by this cat named William Barclay. I think he was a Scottish cat. I'm not even sure. Was he in the 1800s or from the 50s? Anyway, he is taught in all these seminaries, but a lot of the Southern Baptists and more fundamentalists don't like him because he was a universalist, which means he believed that everybody goes to heaven. But they all study him in the seminary, but then they selective. You'll hear his stuff in these sermons, but they cut out all the other stuff. And so when I would find, I was like, when Barclay said this, I was like, do these pastors know that he said that? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, they're being completely spiritually, intellectually dishonest by omitting.
Yeah.
This, now they're allowed to believe differently. I mean, the guy's just such a heavy scholar. You can't get around him. Right. So everybody uses him and studies him, but they leave out all this other stuff. Like, and I was like, wow, this is just Game of Thrones once again. But in the religious arena, it could be in politics, it's in music, it's in comedy, it's infected everything,
it's everywhere,
right?
Selective hearing. I mean, that's a lot of what's going on in culture right now.
But you know? I'm always like, I'm put in these situations by the universe, like or God or whatever, where like I'll be in on the bus with Butch Trucks for 15 years, you know, and he's like, I don't know how you believe this shit, O'Teal. And I try to explain and use spiritual logic. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, we never did come to agreement over it, but it was very, I think it was very important, really, if nothing else, for just me and him.
Yep.
You know, to try to work this. He's like, I know you. I know your heart. Like, how could you possibly? And I'm like, here's how.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is why it matters. This is why I think it matters.
Yeah.
Like, you know? So.
Well, and I guess too, though, also is where my firm belief, no matter what, is that actions are always 10 times more important than words. Yeah. Words are jokes. Words are in context. Words are sarcasm. Words are, you know,
semantics.
Words are taken out of context. Words are this, but actions are where the real soul of a person is, where when you see someone helping someone else, or you see, if you can see someone in need, that's the thing that with religion and with a lot of it is that, like, if a hypocrite is telling you about the Bible and then you see the way that they act in life, or the way that they're, you find out that's just a funnel for money from a call in and I'll send you a prayer over the 800 line or whatever, you're kind of like, feel bad for Jesus a little bit, because he's got a lot of people throwing his name around on some
crucifying bunk him all products, over again.
Right? Yeah. So, and so my whole thing is kind of like with that Butch Trucks thing or with whatever, like, I don't ever think I have the right to tell anyone that what they're doing is wrong or not true, but I would rather just go like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to live in a way that you could go to, hey, Butch, just watch me. And I'll tell, and that's, well, that's see, religion.
He,
you know?
He was one of those people that we were talking about earlier that was really hurt by religion. And those are the hardest to get through to. And probably the reason I did it with him is because I was doing the same thing in parallel with my dad, who recently acknowledged the existence of God. And I didn't even know. My sister told me. And you know what it did for him? He goes, well, over time, I've seen so much stuff happen with Carol and Adaro and Oteil and Leilani. And he's like, how could I deny it? He just was able to see how things played out.
Yeah.
So it was logic that finally did the trick.
Yeah. You know, it's a life of living.
And it's crazy. See, yeah, but on the other side, on the other side of the coin of what you're saying, though, like about actions it's versus words, you know, I did believe in love and I did believe in my conscience. I just went against it. My actions did not at all match up with conscience.
Amen,
and that's
dude. Me
the
too.
Human condition.
Yeah.
Like you can believe in the good and still keep doing bad. That's what 12-step groups are about. And that's why it matters, because that was the only thing that helped me see, like, logically why I was doing that. And I was like, oh, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. That's how I found God. I was like, this isn't going to work. I'm going to keep doing the same thing. I didn't know why, though. But then I found out why. I was like, oh, all humans are wired this way.
We make mistakes.
And that's also why we need grace. Like, man, I definitely had Nigel at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now I can know when he makes mistakes. It's okay, man.
Well, and also, man, that kind of goes back to something in the beginning, that where it's like, you know, if you can separate your, if you can admit you're a human and that humans are imperfect and that we make mistakes and that we're imperfect, right?
You did it. Yeah. You're guilty. Not to be guilty, feel guilty, but you did it. Right?
But if you can then separate yourself from your ego and go, I want to learn from this or whatever and move forward differently, then that's what is, in my opinion, religion and progress and all that other stuff and love. And
love.
And, you know, that's
love.
Yeah.
Love
is
putting something before yourself. Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
Say that again.
But that's what this whole kindness is genius thing. Yeah. Love is, I mean, that's what the 12 step program says. It's like, as long as you're the higher power, you're going to keep doing the same thing.
Sure.
Something else has to come first. Now, if you don't want it to be God or a higher power or whatever, then it can't be you, though. It can't be you. Something else has got to come first.
Sure.
Right? And I think that's something that is not even in scientific territory. Like, I'm fine with science, but just don't tell me that you believe that's all there is, because there's all this other stuff over here. That if you don't get this together, you're out of here.
Like, remember when we were on the phone that day and there's some guy like wandering around and I had to like help him get home. Like,
you're like, I got to go, Teal.
And it was And it was like 100 degrees out. And there's this poor guy wandering around, older guy, elderly, I'd say. And he had no idea where he was. He didn't know how to get home. Hot, like flushed. And I was trying to talk to him and he probably didn't speak English as a primary language to start with, but he was also very tired and whatever. And I was kind of like, all right, where do you live? And I walked him home and then I told you about it and you were like, that's like, you know, I forget what you said, but something nice about me, but I'm just like, that's not nice of me. That's what the fuck I'm supposed to do. You can't leave someone, and you know what I mean? Like,
my dad, remember I told you when you told me that story, I think I told you about my dad. I was driving around with him and all of a sudden he just jumps out of the car.
Yeah.
We're in Washington, D.C. And I was like, what's good? It was really early in the morning and he's running, you know, and he goes, and a pimp was beating up a hooker in the street and he cannot see women. It's a switch. If you abuse a woman, a switch flips. And he was just out of the car all of a sudden. I was like, what the hell is going on? And he went in and duked it out. You know, I mean, he could have got shot.
Sure.
He could have got knifed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it was just a switch. You have that same thing. My mom has it.
It's
involuntary.
Exactly. And to me, it's just like, well, I mean, I wasn't like, you know, I don't know how I would have been able to go to sleep that night, wondering where that guy was. Now, is he wandering around? Did he pass out, hit his head, whatever? It's like whatever I could do to try to get him at least closer to home safe, you know, but that's just the things that you're supposed to me, that's more important than standing on a soapbox and going, here's how you're supposed to vote. And here's how you're supposed to this. And here's how you're supposed to fuck all that. Just be nice to other people. Like, that's all to me.
Yeah.
And when it boils down to it, and it's like, I forget what movie this was, maybe Bronx Tale or something. Like, it's when you're under the covers with, you know, and it's just you, like, it's the people who you like take, you got to take care of the ones that are in your world and they will see you doing it. And then that you have to hope that ripples out. You know what I mean?
Dad eventually. It only took 90 years or 89 years.
I remember seeing some of these batshit crazy dudes that are on TV at like whatever hour screaming at about Jesus. Like, I mean, just, you know, and it's like, and if you send $50.
But see, you know, it's like
Diners Club and I take
people. That's always the people. They get the credit for being religious.
Well, right. But also there's those people in sports. There's those people in comedy. There's those people in politics and music.
But nobody writes off comedy. Nobody writes off sports. Nobody says sports is bullshit or comedy's bullshit or, you know, it should go away. The planet would be better if it just went away.
They
just
go, no,
those guys are full of shit. But with religion, it's like, oh, religion should just go away. I'm like, man, you're just... ignorant.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm
just ignorant.
Anybody who thinks
there's a whole bunch of people that actually took that message to heart. Yeah, that like it saved my life, dude. Nigel wouldn't have a life.
Well, there you go.
He wouldn't have one at all.
And what's weird?
I was like, this is.
And then what's weird is that
company
like
you would know, be off like somewhere, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. It's true. It's true. That's why you just go, hey, who am I to say? I don't know. Like, I just don't know. I like that. So I'm agnostic. That's what that is. Does that mean that I believe in like anything at all or all of them? Or
it just means you're not sure.
I think that everyone's entitled
to it. It's almost like that. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're on the same page with that. My whole thing is
this. There's a guy somewhere who or a woman somewhere who lived thousands and thousands of years before Jesus walked the earth, right? And they believed in because the sun grew his food and made, you know, gave his all of his like livestock life and his whatever. And when it rained it. So he believed in like nature. As like, I'm a guest here on earth. And that's to me, I'm like, that makes
a
million percent more sense than a guy who, you know, 3 days later, he wasn't in the tomb, but I'm not going to say it's wrong. You know,
well,
and I'm not
I always
say,
think anything's you know what I mean? Possible because I've seen the impossible happen.
Sure. And anything's possible because all I see is what's there, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately, if we're all honest, we're all agnostic because you don't.
Well,
the only thing I know is love. Like, I know that it's so deep. You know what I mean?
But there are people who say, all I have are my beliefs.
Oh, absolutely.
You know that. You know that.
You know, they're also.
And those are people who, why even bother talking to them?
In error, ignorant, like. You know, I mean, in one sense, all any of us have is our beliefs, but we just believe that we're not sure about anything all the way 100%, except for one thing for me, which is love.
Right.
And so I just have to like, you know, there's only certain of those people that I care to engage with. You know? And the list is getting shorter.
And that's a good thing. And that's because that's less constant annoyance, right?
Well,
the shorter the list, the less the annoyance.
Freedom is perpetual annoyance. And you know, if I could help, because I do see some people
that are important to talk about this
stuff. Lost. Yeah. I do see some people that are lost and that have taken their own lives.
Sure.
And I wish they could have got it. I wish they could have got it.
Well, and I think, too, it also comes with a point of maturity, too, that, like, our human whatever condition you go through is that, like, you automatically kind of have a little bit of a rebellious, like, peer after being, like, told you have to get on Sunday morning, get up and go and stand and kneel and chant and do this and you know, forget you're always wrong, blah, blah. And then finally, you don't have to, then you don't have to go. You're like, fuck
the verse in the Bible where Jesus,
I told you,
it's wrong. It's
I died for your sins. And that, why'd you die? Like, you know, like, no, I didn't ask you to die for me. You died for me? Like, what the fuck? So I guess my whole thing is like, my point is this, then you get into your kind of like rebellious, whatever. And, you know, there's other things. And then you kind of almost look at other things because it's like cool to like Buddhism's kind of like, oh yeah, Buddhism's fucking cool. You know, like, and, but then you realize, oh, it's all the same. Like it's all the same couple things. And then I think you get to a point when you're maturing, where you kind of go like, yeah, I don't have a problem with Jesus, like I don't have a problem with him. It's just the way it was kind of just the way student loans were shown. You had to go to college or else you were going to be a ditch digger and you were going to be, you know, that's all you had. You hit a ceiling and then, oh, you're done with college. You got to go to graduate school because you're going to end up just being, you know, making 30 grand a year or whatever it may be. And then, and it was just pushing and pushing and pushing and religion. Same thing. When it's shoved down your face, you're like
the flag, everything.
All of it. Of it's just like, all right, you know what? Like, and can I figure it out for myself?
They don't believe their own premise.
Wow. So I guess
all the way across, right?
I think there's a thing with maturity where you finally get to a point where you're like, yeah, I mean, maybe it's, you know, but then like, look, I think it's kind of neat. Your dad, like how old was he when he was
89? Like, I didn't even know. My sister told me, I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't give me this memo. Like she was like, you know, we all have stuff going to a pandemic or whatever, but yeah, like it eventually prevailed. And I hope we give all, I hope everybody will give each other the room to just give each other the room to grow.
Yeah, right? I like that a lot.
I did it. I worked hard with my dad when I first delved deep in, and it didn't take then. It took, I mean, decades later.
No right? religion at all. No belief in a God.
Oh, severe hostility.
Nothing at all.
Oh, more than that. You know, just like it's all bullshit, right? And he knew in all the ways it was, and he was right. I was like, I agree with you. Line item, every friggin' line. There's one thing I don't agree with you about. And that's this love thing, this does it matter thing, which he readily, like he was like, I tried the atheists. He was like, they were a real downer.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's like, to me, that's like the, you care that much that it's not there. Then why do you care so much? Yeah. You know, like that doesn't make sense to me. It's like,
because they were hurt probably. Whatever. But, you know, I hope we all give each other this room because there is a lot of people right now.
There are people that have an inability to go, oh, well, and they take the weight of the world on them and they feel like every minute of the day is exhausting and they're just filled with dread and regret and sadness. And that as this shit gets worse and worse, their life gets more and more exhausting. Yeah. And I kind of hope that those people, me included, have the ability to just go, oh, well, like you can't save them all. So I'm with you.
Can't.
I'm just throwing
definitely
the other side of the coin because it's
absolutely.
You know, there's sometimes, man, it's just like, and I've had very, very close people. I keep going, don't do it. Don't talk about it. I don't want to fucking discuss it with you. And then blah, 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 blah. And I go finally, like, that's it.
Yeah. I got to do it on both sides.
You gotta.
Liberal, Democrat, religious, fucking everything. And I'm just like,
yeah. But
I pick my times, you know.
You know what I hope that our listeners like is these two sides, the Oteil side and the Mike side. Everyone, we're on Osiris, home to so many great podcasts. It's weird doing go to GarciaHandpicked.com they sponsor the podcast and it's incredible product. And maybe try the indica and calm the fuck out. and also patreon.com/comesatime. We have a lot of great stuff going on over there. This conversations like this and others. And we've got a couple really special events lined up for you guys soon. So stick with it. And thanks, Backline. You are, Oteil, you are a, explain what you are.
I'm a supporter and do whatever they ask.
Cool.
And they've helped me a lot personally.
Yeah. Right on. So take care of each other out there, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Love ya.
Osiris.